Good morning. Wow. I agree. It's great to see more faces this morning. And everybody was on time. That was impressive. I had to keep checking my clocks. I drove here and checked the car, and I thought, oh my gosh. You know, I thought the time was way off, but it's just I didn't change it yet. So good morning. So I want to say good morning to our online viewers as well. A warm welcome. Thanks for joining our family this morning. And I want to thank and welcome each of you for coming and being such an awesome family that you are. Really appreciate you. My title this morning is Worship, an Extension of Love. And so when inquiring the Lord a couple weeks or more back, what he wanted to talk about, I felt the still small voice to say, tell my people that I love them. And I thought, oh, they know that. That must have been just me. So, you know, that's fine. Well, days, if not a week or so after that, I inquired again, Lord, because we all, every speaker up here, we inquire of the Lord. We don't just put something together. We really want to capture the heart of the Holy Spirit. And I heard it. It wasn't such a still small voice this time, but it was pretty clear and evident. Tell my people that I love them. And I'll be honest, and I'll be transparent with you. I thought, Lord, really? I'm a talker, but that would only take me 10 seconds, and that's if I stretch it. Because these people surely know that you love them. And I do believe, of course, that you know the love of the Father. But he has elements of bringing it in, and sure enough, he proceeded with the rest of the message. So I'm sorry, I may have to apologize if you got excited there thinking this was only going to be 10 seconds. I've already went over my max. But there is more to this message, and no matter where we feel that we are, there's a depth, isn't there, that we need to know the love of the Father more for us. And what is that got to do with the connection of worship? So we're going to get into that. So, 1 John, 3:1. I just want to say this quickly. See how much, how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And that is who we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. I want to give a great example of Father's love. I have a quick video clip. I think it's about 3-ish minutes. And it's about a father who loves his son. And I'm just going to have that played now. Now that's an example, an incredible example of a father's love for his child. Incredible. Let me read this scripture. Luke 11, chapter 5, verse 11. And I took it from the Passion Translation. Let me ask you this. Do you know of any father who would give his son a snake on a plate when he asked for a serving of fish? Of course not. Do you know of any father who would give his daughter a spider when she asked for an egg? Of course not. If imperfect parents know how to lovingly take care of their children and give them what they need, how much more will the perfect heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit's fullness when his children ask him? Did you catch that one line up there? When the son, which I believe his name was Rick, said in that first race, when I was running with my father, my disability disappeared. You know, the Father's still doing that with us, isn't he? When we're connected with him, when we're running with him, our challenges can disappear. When we're running with him and we don't have strength on our own, it doesn't matter because his strength is what carries us through. He is the perfect loving Father who's given us everything that we need and that we could even dream of. So I believe this message is not just only for our viewers who are watching online or us here, for me as well. I believe it's for every one of us children. And I'm going to question, do we really know the heart of the Father? Do we really know his love for us? And I'm going to say boldly and take a risk here and say, I honestly, for myself and probably for most, if not all here, believe that we probably don't know enough of his heart of love for us. How do we know, or how do I base this? Listen to the way I pray, or you pray. Are we asking and pleading and begging God to heal us or to provide for us? Because if we are, then we've missed the heart of the Father. Because he's already provided that for us. We just have to learn how to access it. And so when we think of meeting our needs, do we really know him as our provider? You see, the Father sent the Son. He held nothing back, not even his own son. His own son carried every disease, every sickness, every curse by hanging on that tree, every sin. Every provision was made. The Father held nothing back. Nothing. Now that, is the Father's love. Down. Okay, he's telling me to put it down. Yeah. And so, being in his deliverance, this is something that I want to make known. I think we're having problems here. Do I have direction? Keep going, he says. All right. So when it comes to deliverance, the Lord is still delivering us today, of course. But let's look back at the Old Testament. We often look back at this time period where it says in the scriptures, where he led them out of Egypt. The Father led the Israelites out of Egypt. He then had the cloud by day and the fire by night, the presence. The presence went before them. The presence went behind them. He then has had the sea, the Red Sea split. So where there was no way, he made a way. He's Yahweh. And then he provided food, manna, from the Father's table in heaven that they kept eating healthy. And they were not sick. He drew them to the mountain to be learning and be taught of his ways every day, so that they can learn more how to live for him and learn more about their God, their Father. But do you know he's still doing that today? But if we don't recognize the heart of the Father, we would look like I used to think this way and look back and think, why? Oh, I'd love to see that like that today. I'd love to see the pillar of fire. And yes, that can still happen. We've seen, documentaries on Azusa Street and stuff. But I'm talking in relation to this, we have a much superior covenant that the Father gave a foretaste in the old, but as his adopted children, he has given it to us completely. Let's take a look. He's called us out of the world so that we no longer have to be captive by the God of this world. He's taken us out of Egypt into himself. He still splits the Red Sea. He gives us his authority to every believer, to every child. He does it because he loves you. He wants to see you successful because that is his heart for each and every one of us today. Whatever you have going on that's a struggle and it's a difficulty, he says that you can speak to your mountain, meaning your difficulty, and cast it to the sea. He's still splitting the Red Sea before you today. And that's the love of the Father. And he goes on to say, if that wasn't enough, we talked about the presence going before them and after them, fire by day, or fire by night, cloud by day. Can you imagine this? Sometimes we just know it and we walk in it and we don't really envision what this is. And that's my hope this morning, that our Father, who adopted us, who calls us delightfully his own, not only gave his son and didn't withhold anything, so that we can be free. He didn't even withhold his own spirit. He gave his spirit to each and every one of us, his Holy Spirit, so that we don't have to have a presence before us and only behind us. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside us. We don't have to go to a high priest on behalf of us once a year to be forgiven. We don't have to give our sacrifice of praise or thanksgiving through the temple. He made us by his choice the temple that would house his spirit. That is the love of our Father towards his children, towards us. We live in the most brilliant time that could ever be. In the Old Testament, it was a foretaste of what he wanted to do. We now live in the reciprocal or the recipient of what he has done. And that is his very own self with us. Most of us, if we're honest, and remember this message is as much for me as it is for any of you, but most of us can check ourselves with how we act, how we think, or how we praying. So going back to what I said before, how are we praying? Are we begging? Are we pleading? Or are we going to use his authority that he's given us to speak to that mountain? Because we're so secure in knowing that his love for us has made a way through his son. Are we going to know that when we come to decisions in life, that the Holy Spirit is within us? So to teach and to guide, he is our biggest mentor. That's the love of our Father. His plans towards us are awesome. We know that. Jeremiah 29:11 says that. But we also know that we don't have to keep asking him over and over in fear of, oh my goodness, God, do you not know what I'm going through? Can you quickly come and rescue me? Which is fine. But if we keep doing this over and over and over in that kind of way, then we're not understanding the scriptures when he says that his thoughts towards us are more than the sand of the seashore, the grains of sand. He has plans to prosper us, to do good. And so is it in our actions, is it in our prayers, in our words that we are understanding his love for us? And many of us will be able to say yes. And I think if we're all honest, we're going to be able to say, but we want and need to know more. We need to know more of his heart. Now, though, for the next part of this message, you knew, because I told you the title and that it's connected to worship, how worship is an extension of our love. And I felt a message from the Lord that has been resounding in. And it's been coming, some of you may know that I lead the Citygate Intercession Group. But the Holy Spirit has been speaking through this group and beyond, and through leaders and through the congregation. And a message of the Holy Spirit's coming through. And what that is that we have become, as a corporate group here, as a family, become sleepy when it comes to corporate worship in our spirits. And it's going to get better. But first, we're going to be aware of the issue. I think some of you may have been experiencing that, you know, that you're just feeling that you're not pressing, getting to be pressing through, rather, and feeling that breakthrough. I apologize. I have to take a lot of water breaks. I have a sinus that's really not favorable today. Gotta like those type of allergies, so we move on. But that sleepiness that can happen of the corporate gathering, the Lord has plans. He keeps making this known over and over, and he's confirming that he wants to bring breakthrough of his manifestation during our corporate time of worship in this house. And we, I'm sure, are more than welcoming that. And that is great. But there is this, so to speak, for those who are listening to audio, it's like not breaking through. When we come sometimes, especially lately, of this in our corporate worship, what could be that result? What could be the cause of this? It could be one of two things, okay? One is that it could be that our fire is not burning well enough from our side. So let me explain that. So in the Old Testament, we know, we've heard this before, that it was the Lord who supernaturally lit the fire, the priest's job to keep the fire going. It was a representation of us in our day, where when we come into Christ, the Holy Spirit lights us. He lives inside us. That supernatural fire is lit by the Lord. And it's up to us to keep that going, keep our growing, keep stirring our love up for him, keep being in the word and spending our time with him where we're listening to him and we're speaking to him. And it's a two-way. And so that could be one of the restrictions. The other thing, it can be a spiritual blockage. There could be this going on. And in this case, I think it could be both. It could certainly, and I do believe it is both. But the good news, God has a plan. And it requires our participation to go through, push through. How many of us know that worship is a condition of our heart? It's a condition of our heart. It's not, of course, just music. It's not just singing. You can be sitting here right now and you'll be worshiping if you're accepting what he's saying and how he's speaking to you. There's so much involved in worship. But worship is a condition of the heart. And one other thing about worship, it is not determined by our circumstance around us. So some of us may be thinking, but we can't do what we used to do. We're wearing a mask. We can't maybe go around the sanctuary in the same way that we wanted to. And that's true. And I found that a struggle too, just being transparent. However, I will let you know again, and I'll bring it biblically as to why that's not a holdback for us. And it's a condition of our heart. We do not worship from our circumstance, and we do not worship by being ruled by our emotions. Let's look biblically at the example of Paul and Silas. They were in prison. They were in stocks. I can't even imagine the condition of their body or what they were feeling emotionally. And yet, they praised. And we know that story. And heaven broke through. God manifested his glory. I often think of the persecuted church. I think most of us, if not all of us, have heard examples and testimonies when they would gather and they would sit, hopefully undetected. It was great risk, and it is great risk. It still happens today all the time. And they would sit down in the dark in somebody's little place and they can't even speak. And somebody would write a name of a song, and they would be just thinking it, singing it in their thoughts. And yet, despite all that restrictions, the manifest presence of God would come. Why? Because worship is a condition of our heart. It's what is in our heart that will reflect what comes out. God says when we draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. There's a situation that happened. I was putting together this message this week, and I was beginning to wonder, my goodness, God, when are you going to give me this message? And sometimes for us, you know, for myself anyhow, a message may come like that. And that's fine. That's always great when that happens. Other times you got to wait for it. And it's a great experience. Because again, like I mentioned, when we speak, we don't want to just say whatever message. We want one that the Holy Spirit's leading us. So he's teaching the waiting on him and not going back to our own plan B, right? We're waiting on him. So this was happening, just building up the scene here. And I'm downstairs, and I'm finally getting this download. I've waited for this sweet moment for quite a while, quite a few days, and starting to stress about it, to be very honest. And it's coming, and Preston comes running down the steps. He comes in front of me, and he's like, oh, mommy. I'm not doing it very good justice. I'd be out of breath in an instant. But he's jumping up and down. He has got such a gleam in his eye. It tore my heart in such a good way. His hands are flapping. He is laughing from the gut of his belly. And he says, you've got to see what I did upstairs. Come see upstairs what I've done. And well, I had a decision, didn't I? I had a decision to make. I've waited for this sweet moment for days to know what the Holy Spirit wanted to speak to you. And am I dare going to give that up in that moment? Would I get it back? So if you thought, of course, I'd be sensible to choose that, well, that was my first thought for about 2 seconds. But I looked at my son, and I was so moved that he wanted to share his excitement so badly with me that he was unreserved. His joy was not contained, that he could have asked for anything of my time, and I would have come to him for as much as he wanted. That is the heart of the Father over our house at City Gate. He wants us to be in that place where we are unrestrained, where we come to him, where we just want to worship him, to give him our adoration, to give him our unrestricted selves, because he finds that irresistible. That's what he longs for. There's a few things that we can do to break through this difficulty of pressing through, this sleepiness. You know, we know if it happens, if we're kind of, our lifestyle is sedentary, you know, and we're just not moving very much, we know that we would increase physical activity, have better sleep, better nutrition. But what do we do spiritually? Well, here's three things to get us to a good start. One, we're going to come to him regardless of how we feel, regardless of what restrictions we have, and we're going to come to him with thankfulness. Because the truth is, he's given us everything that we need. We must show our thankfulness to the one who's adopted us, who calls us his own, who's given himself through his Son and his Spirit. And then, number two, we're going to come through and give him praise because of who he is. I know you would agree, but I would like a little hand. How many agree that he's worthy of every bit of praise that exists on this earth? That's right. And so I feel, well, let me keep going here on the track. So, and the third thing, we're going to give him our adoration. We're going to give him our love. Express to him how much we love him. That when we come here in a worship setting, we are collectively joining as one, but it's an audience of one. We're not to be worried if somebody else is doing this or somebody's doing that. What are we doing with those three components to the Lord? Because that's what he's after. I even believe that the trees, the grass, the birds, the animals, the stars worship the Lord. I believe all his creation worships the Lord. And to think that's his creation. So how much more would we, who he knit carefully in his mother's womb, in our mother's womb, sorry, how much more would we praise him? The one that he came after us, called us as his own children. The one who held nothing back from us. How much more should we praise him and give him our love and full worship? And so we had this word that I didn't even ask Judy, but where did she go? She's not here at the moment. Judy Gunter. Yeah, so she had this word that came in. There was many words, as I mentioned, that came in to us. And this one in particular caught my attention, caught all of us. And I'm going to share what she wrote about worship here. And she was cleaning here on a Wednesday morning, one particular Wednesday morning at church. And what I sensed was hopelessness. And right after, I heard children laughing and playing. And I was wondering what was happening when I heard God say it was the Holy Spirit. He wants us to worship childlike, not childish, with the leading of the Holy Spirit. The hopelessness I sense was that a lot of us don't feel like it's ever going to happen and have given up hope of God's manifestation happening. But it is going to happen. And so we've had so many amazing words like this. And so this is the whole wrap-up of this message, what I feel from the Lord. Where's our heart? Where is the condition of our heart this morning? This is why the Lord, I believe, instructed us to have a flip of the service today. So we can be reminded of all he's done, for his great love for us, and that so we can go forward and worship him, which is an extension of our love, and have that opportunity to press through those boundaries, to keep going past our circumstances, to be free, to be worshiping in an audience of one, to be childlike. Are we up for that this morning? Amen. Mm-hmm. Good. I'm going to ask it again because I'm serious. This isn't just for me being up here. I really want to know, are we up to worship freely this morning? Okay. Oh, I even see some smiles. We were born for this. This is our spiritual DNA, isn't it? So I would like us to lead, or I would like to lead us in a time of repentance, if that's okay. And I'll explain for what. We have a responsibility of not coming and giving our all to God. And if there's resistance even, remember those two things? So one, maybe not keeping our fire going. Or two, succumbing to, you know, the spiritual dynamic of that coming against us, of succumbing to that and not pushing through. So for that reason, I believe that it would be really good and really freeing for us, and really on the heart of the Father, if we would go and repent. Are we okay with that? Okay. So let's just bow our heads and let's just be right raw before our Father. Father, repeat after me. Father, forgive us for withholding your worship, your adoration and praise. We choose to repent. We're coming after you. And I repent and I renounce and break every agreement with the enemy that my actions and words have caused. Thank you. I can just sense the pleasure of the Father. So I'm going to call the worship team up, and as I'm doing that, we're going to lead, or I'm just going to lead a bit in some thanksgiving, some praise, and please press through and walk in that freedom. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you for sending us your Son. We thank you for sending us your Spirit and calling us your own. You are worthy of our praise. You're worthy of everything that we can give. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Holy. You're holy. You are holy. There is none like you. There is none like you. And we give you ourselves this morning as a sacrifice of praise. We give you ourselves this morning to show you our adoration. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you.